first, let me get you straight on the history. It is true that almost 25 years ago now, I was graced to be a member of the Newfoundland Archdiocese of St. John's, Newfoundland Commission of Inquiry into Sexual Abuse that occurred in that province of Canada. It produced what is now understood to be a landmark paper exploring what the Archbishop had asked of us, Archbishop Alphonsus Penny, which is, tell us what happened here. It was a devastating amount of abuse, both in a famous Irish Christian Brothers orphanage and then among diocesan priests. So the Archbishop was totally overwhelmed and asked, tell us what happened here. And then he asked, can you give us insights as to why? That work then was published in 1990, and I was then asked by the Canadian Conference of Catholic Bishops to go on their ad hoc committee on child sexual abuse because they were taking this up nationally as the issue was emerging. And I assisted in the committee under fantastic Episcopal leadership that produced a document called From Pain to Hope, which was the first set of national guidelines anywhere in the world on this issue. So by the time that was published in 1992, I'd spent almost 5 years of my life. I was a pediatrician at the time. And I thought, well, I've sent all this work off to the church, and I've done my job as a good Catholic, and I actually went back to my career in pediatrics and then in bioethics. So, yes, I have a long history, but I have not been continuously working in this area. It was only in the last 4 years, particularly with the arrest of one of our bishops in Canada on pornography charges, a bishop who had been a priest of the Archdiocese of St. John's, Newfoundland, at the time of our inquiry. With his arrest, I had this absolute flashback experience to the pain of Newfoundland. I had this absolute clear sense of calling from the Lord that we had raised issues, particularly about the systemic and cultural reasons that we had behaved as we had in this crisis in response, and that we had not finished the job. So this conference, for me, is an enormous grace experience. It is picking up, took us a while, but it is picking up now with an amazing group of people, the question of the answer to the Holy Father Pope Benedict's question, what is it, what was it about us and our way of living the gospel and our proclamation of the gospel that let us behave as we have in relation to this crisis, because we have not behaved as Christ would want us to. So I think this is an amazing experience, and for somebody who's been in this, again, for the last 4 years, I am enormously encouraged. And the fact that we can have the promoter of justice for the Congregation of the Doctrine of the Faith sitting in the midst of a group of theologians and doctors and sociologists all together asking, how can we as a church respond? It's an enormous grace for me.
It has taken, as you say, though, 20 years, hasn't it? Why has there been this reluctance so far to address these deeper issues?
Well, I said yesterday I had the challenge and the opportunity to respond to the remarks from Monsignor Scicluna, and one of the things I said, because the church has now, in terms of policies and protocols, surely become a world leader, but I said we have been a slow learner on this one. And the answer to that absolutely central question is what this conference is about. It's asking why. Why is it that the people of God who have the witness of Jesus, and in Matthew 18, right, that anyone who would lead astray a child, I mean, Jesus has very strong words. Why did we not reply that way? And what we're pursuing here, and so many insights on this, is precisely how does power and our sense of church, how has the inactivity of the laity, our inability to have good, positive, loving experiences between priests and people in our church that would make us a healthy church, how has all that made us continue to deny, to just fail to want to accept the really, really difficult challenges that are here? This is a challenge of conversion, and I think our Holy Father, Pope Benedict, knows that.
These are, however, very uncomfortable questions for many people, taking them right outside of their comfort zones. I imagine you must have had some reluctance, some opposition, haven't you, in trying to push these questions forward?
The difficulty of dealing with this issue as a Roman Catholic, I entered religious life 50 years ago, I am a pediatrician by training with a ministry to care for children. I can only tell you that coming back into this, there have been days when I have had to kneel at my desk and literally physically hold on to the New Testament, because I've been so overwhelmed by how much harm and distress has been done, not just to the individual victims, but to what I call the body of Christ. The whole body of Christ has been suffering. Monsignor Sikluna acknowledged this. He used the expression about the wound, the tragic wound that has occurred because of this particular issue in our church. So I can tell you personally two things. There have been days when, and I'm not a woman who breaks down easily and cries, but I have wept about this issue. On the other hand, I can tell you that I know in my heart that the Holy Spirit is leading us somewhere, graced, and I am perfectly prepared to do whatever I can with the grace and energy the Lord gives me to contribute to that.
Do you think that it will be therefore possible to recover from this crisis? Because as you know, many people don't have your strength of faith. Many people are just walking away and continuing to do so.
Right. Look, walking away is not an option. It's not an option because it belongs to my baptismal commitment. This is my church. I only know what I need to do. And I do know that there is a Holy Spirit. I do know that despair is the unforgivable sin. So for me, personally, I know that the Holy Spirit is asking us to move somewhere. And I can only say to you, coming back to this conference, this is an enormous grace for me to realize and to help, particularly through Monsignor Sikluna, let the Vatican and the hierarchy know there are so many who want to help them. And then, and this is the challenge, the hierarchy is male, and men don't always like to accept help.
Especially from women.
Well, especially from women, but I mean, sometimes even from each other.
And yet you remain optimistic, however, that there
of
will be a winning.
Of course I remain optimistic. There is a Holy Spirit. There are wonderful people who understand this and who have committed themselves as well.